Welcome to the White House Family Spoken Novels Podcast, episode 138. Today we're reading chapter 30 of the novel and family drama Just Won't Stop Book 3 by Daniel White III with his wife Marika White. Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 6. As the days flew by, Monica began noticing some subtle changes in Jonathan that disturbed her. He was no longer coming home for lunch whenever he was in town, a commitment he had made when they moved to Oklahoma. Although she had no problem with him preaching out at various meetings, she felt he was taking on too many outside engagements for a pastor. On top of that, he was becoming curt with her more often. You know, one of the complaints Christy had about Kirby was that he stopped spending as much time with their children. He was always locked up in his office at the house, or constantly at the church, or off to some meeting, Monica said one evening to him. So, Jonathan said, so I kind of see some of that behavior in you. This is a growing church, Monica. The people need me to be available for them, Jonathan said. And I can't help it if pastors are calling on me to preach at their meetings or in their churches. I believe your children mind. Their names are Mitch, Geraldine, Caleb, and Diana Joy, lest you have forgotten. Jonathan smiled. So now we're getting sarcastic, he said. Take it however you want, but I'm not going to sit by quietly and watch you neglect these children, Monica said. Too many pastors' children have gone astray because the pastor was too busy building a church and ignoring his children in the process. Do you want me to begin naming names? You've become quite a bit of a complainer, Jonathan said. Nope, not a complainer. Just trying to practice preventative medicine rather than trying to patch things up later, Monica said. Oh, you're just overreacting, Jonathan said. I think the stress of the ministry is getting to you. You might need to take a vacation. I am not overreacting, Monica said. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Just because you're being called upon to preach at all these meetings, and just because you're being called upon to address community issues, and just because you're all over the internet and you're now becoming somewhat of a household name, that does not mean you forget where you're coming from. Exactly what is eating you up now? As I was saying, just because you hit a home run in putting on the biggest Christian concert this town has ever seen and have reaped more young people coming to the church now on a regular basis, and just because I've noticed you're now seen as a best-selling author, and just because your church choir has a best hot-selling album, you better be careful because I've noticed that it seems like you've had your nose up in the air. Oh boy. Are you jealous because you're home with the children all day and I'm out and about? Jonathan said. No, Jonathan, that does not bother me at all. I'm glad to see you succeed. But it does bother me when Mitch complains to me how he hated it that you missed several of his practices and you also missed his Little League big playoff game because you suddenly had to counsel Carol Reels during the lunch hour when Mitch was scheduled to play. So that's it. You're jealous over Carol Reels. Monica laughed. Please, if you really think I'm jealous over her, you're sadly mistaken. She would be small potatoes for me to handle. My main concern is the children, our children. Remember you asked me to quit my job so that I could stay home with them. I know they're growing up, but that does not mean they don't need you to be around just as much. An uneasy silence fell between them for the rest of the evening. Later that night, Jonathan reached over to kiss Monica goodnight. Go kiss your books, she said, tossing her head to the side. She reached over and cut the bedside lamp off and slid under the covers. The next morning when Jonathan awakened, Monica was already up and had breakfast cooking in the kitchen. Good morning, Monica. How was your night? Go tell the children good morning, she said, as she flipped the pancakes on the griddle. Mitch and Caleb are already up and are doing their devotions. It would be nice of you to join them. After all, you've missed some mornings praying with them. Geraldine's doing hers as well. Diana Joy should still be asleep. It would be nice if you'd pray with them without me. You're burning those pancakes, Jonathan said. I know. I guess you're not through with letting me have it, huh? You said it, Monica said, reaching over the stove to scramble the eggs. Jonathan walked off to check on the children. The past few months, he had been hurrying out the door to go to some meeting or just to go out to the office early, but their conversation the previous night slowed him down this morning. Monica went upstairs to call the children down for breakfast after setting the table. She opened the door to the boys' room. Her heart softened when she saw Jonathan kneeling with his arms around Mitch and Caleb. He was praying with them. When she entered the girls' room, Geraldine was helping Diana Joy get dressed. "Mommy, she won't hold still." Monica smiled. "I'll finish that. Thanks for helping your little sister." "Daddy picked my dress out for me," Geraldine said. "He did. He chose a pretty one," Monica said. "Let's go. We don't want the boys to eat up all the pancakes." "Since your father is here this morning, I'm sure he won't mind saying the blessing," Monica said once they were all seated at the table. She continued, "After that, he has something very important to say to you children." "Daddy, your pancakes are burnt," Caleb said. "Very observant, my son," Jonathan said with a smile, while not taking his eyes off Monica, who held a straight face. "The children are waiting," she said. Clearing his throat, Jonathan apologized to the children for not being around more often, and he apologized to Mitch for missing his games. He also apologized to Monica and asked everyone for their forgiveness. "Yes, Daddy, we forgive you," the children said. "Can we eat now?" Caleb asked, picking up his fork after they had said grace. Monica excused herself. When she returned, she had a plate in her hand, stacked with 5 hot pancakes smothered with butter, just as Jonathan liked them. She placed them before her husband and squeezed him on the shoulder as she removed the burnt ones. "Children, I have a fun-filled day planned for you," Monica said as she took her seat. "Daddy has volunteered to teach you all day. That includes cleaning up the kitchen after breakfast, fixing your lunch unless you can succeed in talking him into taking you out for hamburgers and fries, or whatever you please. You can go to the park after lunch and then to the library. They're showing The Prince of Egypt at the theater at exactly 3 o'clock. I'm sure he'll be glad to take you to see it, but you must put in 4 hours of solid schoolwork before you can do these fun things." "Yay!" the children shouted. "Are you coming with us, Mommy?" Geraldine asked. "No, Jerry. While you all are having fun with Daddy," Monica said, looking back at her husband, who still held his fork in midair with a piece of pancake about to fall off its stick, "I'll be having me some mommy time." "What's mommy time?" Geraldine asked. "That's when I take a long-needed bubble bath. Then I take the car and go shopping at different stores. I get my nails done, then I get my hair done. Then I get something delicious to eat. I may call up a couple of the ladies of the church and have lunch with them. And while I'm doing that, I will be talking with Auntie Stacy and Grandma and Grandpa." Jonathan could not resist a smile. Thank you for joining us for this episode of White House Family Stories. You may purchase a copy of this novel and any other Christian fiction books read on this podcast from Amazon.com. Now, dear listener, please know that God, the divine author of all things, wants to write a great story with your life as well. But first, you must give him the pen by trusting him with the life he gave you and surrendering your heart to Jesus Christ as Savior. Here is how. 1. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 7:20, "For there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Romans 3:23 reads, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." 2. Accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." 3. Accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." For accept the fact that you cannot do anything to save yourself. The Bible states in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." 5. Accept the fact that God loves you more than you love yourself, and that he wants to save you from hell. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." With these facts in mind, please repent of your sins, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and pray and ask him to come into your heart and save you this very moment. The Bible states in the book of Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, if you are willing to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, please pray with me this simple prayer. Heavenly Father, I realize that I am a sinner and that I have done some bad things in my life. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. I now believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ died for me, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life today. Amen. If you believed in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross, was buried, and rose again, allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, go to GospelLightSociety.com and read What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless you until next time.